You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
I picked the Bears to win the game by a final score of 27 to 24.
I want to be wrong, and I want you guys to rub it in my face when the Bears win, but I think it might be Packers 24, Bears 20.
Is it going to be Micah Parsons or is it going to be Caleb? It's going to be Caleb.
Score higher than you probably think. I got 31 to 23.
I wrote this down before the segment, and I have Marshall's exact score written down, 31-23. I think it's going to be Bears.
Blitz coming. Love has time. Floats one. Watson. Down! Touchdown, Packers!
Matthew Golden checks in. That wide receiver, he's missed the last three games. A speedy rookie. Love loading up. Falling deep. Down the field. Has a man. It's caught. Touchdown, Bo Melton. And the Pack.
God, please give me patience. Because if you give me strength, I'm going to need bail money.
Play fake. Williams looking, throwing. It is caught. Touchdown. Oh, love it, Ezekias.
Third and goal. Theo Bennett in alignment in motion. He gets cut. Williams floats it the other way. It's caught for a touchdown. Colston Loveland. And it all comes down to this fourth.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
On the fake. Williams looking, throwing. It is intercepted. Keyshawn Nixon and the Packers will win it.
I am dead inside.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Score.
After 3 years of writing, 1 year of shooting, 4 years of reshooting, and 2 years of editing, I have finally completed my movie, Threat Level Midnight. That was kind of like the game yesterday.
Threat Level Midnight.
That is a... You want to know my life in a nutshell? 3 years of writing, 1 year of shooting, 4 years of reshooting, and 2 years of editing.
Hey, Michael Scott. If I hear Michael Scott's voice to start my day, to start our radio show, I'm smiling. I'm smiling. And thanks for bringing up... What is it? Threat Level Midnight, right?
Well, that Tyler Buterbaugh technically brought it up.
Nice job, Butes. Nice job, buddy.
And kind of prophetic. Yeah, and I I wanted to be wrong, but something inside of me was just like, you know how it is. Olin says it, like the tape will talk to you. And unfortunately, also like the odds of the Bears winning four straight road games was low. This, are we at a panic level of any kind after this? No, but I also think, well, the head coach did warn you that these things that he was concerned about, like, oh, I don't know, winning in spite of the passing game, not because of it necessarily. Certainly a lot of this stuff reared its ugly head in the first half. This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. You just heard Mark Grody. Marshall Harris is here, too. I'm Layla Rahimi. And I had high hopes for this game, but at the same time, you have to respect, especially defensively, who the Packers have become. And as they continue to get healthy, you see why that they're a team to be reckoned with. Cool part is you see them in 2 weeks. Lame part is this still came down to one play, even though that wasn't the entirety of the game.
I think the biggest thing taking away from this game is that the Bears are absolutely on the NFC elite tier. Like, if you want to take tiers of football and who's good, who's a contender versus, you know, teams that are in the mid or pretenders. They're not a pretender. They're a contender. And even though they lost, that is established. Now, what you can't have if the season's on the line, this was not a playoff game, but in a similar situation, let's say a month plus from now, is a game where you just play an absolutely putrid half of football. And that's what they put out there, a putrid half of football. They played well in the second half. They looked like a Ben Johnson-led team and offense in the second half of the game. But what they did in the first half, that's why they lost this game in my mind. Not because Caleb Williams got picked off on the last offensive play that the Bears had. But you know what? It was at Lambeau. We'll do it again in 2 weeks here in Chicago, and it'll be fun. I promise. It will be highly anticipated.
Oh, my God. It's a Saturday night game on December 20th at 7 p.m. It's going to be like Soldier Field is going to get a workout the next 2 weeks. I get that it's going to be hard to like truly feel motivated and excited about the 3-10 Cleveland Browns being at Soldier Field, but these are going to be two hype games in the next 2 weeks. And yes, I agree with you, Marshall. The Bears are still at a top tier in the NFC. That didn't change. The Bears are good. I haven't moved off that. The Bears were not embarrassed in that game. It was an impressive comeback. The Bears had a chance to beat the Packers at the end if there were a few inches that were a little bit more exact at the end. So the Bears are good. I'm not taking that away from the Bears. But what I'm hearing from a lot of people, including Green Bay Packers players, saying that this is not the same old Bears, that they're seeing a more formidable, legitimate team that had a chance to win. You're hearing Bears fans say that. I'm hearing other people around town say that. It's not the same old Bears. I get it. But I am here to tell you that within the framework of this Bears-Packers game, guess what, everybody? It was the same old Chicago Bears, because seemingly in every Packers game that the Bears lose, and some have been worse than others, there's some sort of explosive, Bo Melton-like play, like a 45-yard bomb to who? To Bo Melton. It may as well have been Dontavius Wicks or Jordy Nelson or JerMichael Finley or James Jones.
Oh, wow.
Fill in your Packers that have burned the Bears through the years, and then the stars like Randall Cobb and Devontae Adams, Greg Jen, Donald Driver, anyone? For my old heads out there, there's always that play against the Packers. There's the Bo Melton play, the Christian Watson play, Jordan Love, the 41-yard slant to Watson on C.J. Gardner-Johnson. There's always a defensive player who gets victimized in these Bears Packers game. In that case, bad coverage by C.J. Watson. I don't know what more he probably could have done on that particular play. And then we had the breakdown defensively on the Bo Melton play, where you had Jalen Johnson and Jaquan Brisker in no man's land. I am here to tell you, and I haven't even gone through the entire litany of explosive plays, I am here to tell you that right there, that is the same old Bears relative to a Bears-Packers game. It doesn't mean the Bears aren't good, but we did. You know what I'm talking about, Bears fans. There was a lot of the same old stuff against the Green Bay Packers in terms of their explosive plays.
I want to point out the halftime adjustments that were made in this game were massive. I don't think anybody's taking away from the coaching staff being able to change so much of this game at the half. But my question is,
what was going on in the first half? Like you just mentioned, there were so many breakdowns. We learned right before the game, Kyler Gordon is a scratch yet again because of the groin injury. Supposedly he re-aggravated it in pregame warmups. We saw, I think, a game plan that even if Kyler Gordon had been healthy, I'm not sure if that works out in the way it did for Dennis Allen and the defense. Like you mentioned, Mark, there were some real big defensive breakdowns in this game. And frankly, some just absolute burning of the Bears man coverage. Like that was part of this for me. Once again, you say, well, the pass rush has got to do more up front to get home. Those are your money men, you know, outside of Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon. The money that you've spent, the big money, is in that defensive line. And yeah, we saw one Montez Sweat sack, but at the same time, you know, it wasn't enough to make a difference like what you saw on the other side, Green Bay's front seven and what they were doing. Like the box score may indicate that Micah Parsons might have not had the stats he wanted, but my goodness, he changed the shape of this game.
I think the biggest thing looking at the way this game went and the flow of the game and Jordan Love and these explosives that we talk about. So the one play to Christian Watson on the man-to-man in the second half, that was like, okay, man-to-man, your team speed greater than our team speed, easy touchdown. That's one thing. But in the first half, what you're talking about, Layla, specifically, once Kyler Gordon goes down, they just did not have what they needed because Jalen Johnson's not at full strength yet. He's not playing, you know, 90, 100% of the snaps. He's playing, what, 60% of the snaps. They just didn't have the team speed to keep up with it without getting some pressure up front. You mentioned the one sack. That's the only sack of the game. That's the only, and Jordan Love had all day to let things develop downfield. They tried to pick on Nick McCloud. It didn't work out to Nick McCloud's benefit, but overall,
I did at some spots.
Well, no, but not on the huge plays. And really, when I look at this game, I look back a week ago at Black Friday and say, it's just a matter of Jordan Love was better at hitting on opportunities compared to what we saw Jalen Hurts doing. Because those opportunities were there for Jalen Hurts, too. He couldn't hit on them. But Jordan Love had no problem making the most out of any situation where he felt he had a mismatch downfield.
Yeah, I mean, one name I left out. Anybody got anything on Josh Wiley? The 21-yard catch before the 23-yard play to Christian Watson that made it 7-0 on a 3rd-and-10 play. So there's another name. I'll throw Josh Wiley into the mix as well on that. So yeah, you're right, Marshall. They were able to take advantage of some Bears blitzes for sure. TJ Edwards turning up the heat as Dennis Allen, you know, dials up an early blitz, which was great to see. Hey, here comes 53 coming up the pike. And then what did they throw? Was it a 9 or 10 yard play by Jordan Love?
Check and
maybe
down. Yeah.
Check down, beautifully done on the Packers side, which I hate to say, but yeah, man, there was a decent amount of same old for the Bears for this.
And Mark, to your point, how many times have we seen over the years where X defensive coordinator for Bears would dial up a blitz and then Aaron Rodgers would be like, hi, here's someone in the flat. Chunk.
Yeah,
go.
He had the exact same
positive
skill
play
and ability, and the only difference is Aaron Rodgers' escapability is better than Jordan. I don't know if still is, but was against the Bears in all those games.
Was.
Like Aaron Rodgers used to do to the Bears what Caleb Williams does to everybody, just annoyingly, when you think you got him, when you're 99% you got him, you don't got him.
He's got you.
Our segment on Raheem Harrison Grody is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. And I, to the Packers credit, the thing that I thought I was going to see more of in this game was the Jordan Love back foot hop throw that kind of goes askew, you know, because that's what happens.
It did it.
The quarterback footwork was so key in this game because it predicted what you saw out of Caleb Williams. And then it also was indicative of Jordan Love's performance. Like, he didn't have those throws in this game. Not really. I mean, he did it a couple times, but it was to accuracy. The other thing is he was placing the balls and stepping up in the pocket and throwing some darts that just absolutely made the Bears look bad. And it's just like you guys have said, they took advantage of some one-on-one mismatches where they were winning at way too much of a clip, where it echoed what I saw out of the Bears game last week. The Bears were so good at scheming the one-on-one mismatches against the Eagles defense, and then they have it done unto them at Lambeau in that way. And I think that that's what accounted for a lot of what we saw. That first half, though, there's only so much you can overcome. And Marshall, when we were talking about it in our pre-show meeting, I thought about how many times like an NBA team will get down by 20 and you have to come back. And there's only so many times you can do that before you're gassed. And that's what I felt like happened. If one or two of those drives go even longer, just longer in the first half, if Caleb Williams isn't 6 of 14 for 32 yards and a 50.3 rating, if it's, I don't know, take those 14 attempts. If he's 8 of 14, are we talking about a different game because it allows for a different margin at the end of this game for the Bears? Like, that's part of it, too, for me. How much of that first half did they have to overcome?
Well, I think that's what makes it very curious is that at the end of the game, if you look at the score, you're like, okay, the Bears were there. And certainly if you watch just like the final, if you just watch the fourth quarter of this game, you're thinking, okay, this has been a back and forth affair. You probably wouldn't know what the reality was. But the Bears started out with one run play on the first six snaps of the game. They started out with Caleb Williams 0 for 5 on some throws that he could have connected on because receivers were open.
Yeah.
And so as great and heroic as Caleb Williams looked when he put the cape on in the second half and made some ridiculous throws, you could call some of the throws he made at the beginning of the game ridiculous for a whole other reason. And I think that's where the lack of consistency comes to bite you when you face the best of the best on the road.
I think that there was some of the, like, of course, somehow, some way within this game where there were missteps by Caleb Williams, for sure. You're right. He sailed a couple balls on that first drive. Oh, I mean, the Luther Burden.
Like, first down catches that would have kept the drive going.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Even two more completions, how different does this look?
Darnell Wright didn't help matters with creating a third and 15 on your first and drive. That sucks. That's horrible.
Pre-snap.
Like, to put yourself in that spot on the Bears' first offensive chance in the biggest game of their season. That needs to be circled. But with Caleb, then you had, of course you did, because this is Caleb Williams. I was talking about this on Take the North with Wiederer, that it felt like watching Caleb when we got to watch the entire training camp practices, we get to see all it out, we get to see everything that they're doing. And Caleb Williams, like in so many games, you'd watch him and he would make sloppy plays, he would miss guys, he'd be inaccurate, he'd miss the deep balls. And then all of a sudden, in the third quarter, he makes that absolutely sick play to Cole Kmet down the sideline where he eludes the pressure, dances to the sidelines, flings it to Kmet. He had a similar play to DeAndre Swift last year. So I guess my whole point in bringing this together is we're still seeing throughout the course of a game really good stuff from Caleb Williams and really bad stuff from Caleb Williams throughout the course of the game. That still has to even up for Caleb.
That's Mark Grody. Marshall Harris is on this show as well as I am. Layla Rahimi. This is Rahimi Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. Our producers are Ray Diaz, Tyler Buterbaugh, Brandon Fryer helps us out as well. You can text us and call us 312-644-6767. We are on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. Our Twitch mob is chatting it up there right now, talking about the game. Our video team, Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. You are also on YouTube. We were on YouTube last night for the post-game show as well. That is 670 The Score on YouTube. When we broadcast, it is live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. This is unfortunately not a winning edition of a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips, but it is one where the Bears yet again almost win. Let's look at that final play that the Bears had offensively, the one that unfortunately ended in an interception. I watched it, I think, about 98 times. I'm not kidding. That's most of what I was doing last night after the game. I heard what the Bears had to say about it, too. And the Packers chimed in. So let's examine that final play of the Bears offense that we saw, whether or not it could have been a touchdown, and what went into even getting there. We'll do that next. Rahimi Harrison Grody on The Score.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And it all comes down to this fourth and one on the fake. Williams looking, throwing, it is intercepted! Keyshawn Nixon and the Packers will win!
That is courtesy of Fox Sports. This is Rahimi Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. And that was the last offensive play the Bears had. There was a lot of discussion surrounding their clock management in this game. There was discussion surrounding how they were able to try to plan for, I believe, what was supposed to be a touchdown. And Ben Johnson said they were going to go for two. I liked that plan. Micah Parsons questioned it after the game. He also questioned the Bears running the ball. They did that with success, with great success.
I'm not taking anything Micah Parsons has to say seriously after, one, what he said before the game, and then, of course, the post-game comments. Yeah, they were running the ball with success. Of course you want them to stop running the ball.
Well, and not just that, but I realized after watching the video of Micah Parsons imitate Caleb Williams dodging the pass rush that the only person perhaps better at it is Micah Parsons. So, like, Caleb Williams was still very good at eluding sacks yesterday. I keep going over that play in my head. And then after I went over it in my head a bunch of the times, then I went to the film. And then I looked at everybody's replays of it. And then after that, as we tried to see what happened at the Bears' final play that they ran in the 28-21 loss to the Packers that ended up with that Keyshawn interception in the end zone, I kept trying to figure out who was open. Then we hear after the game the impetus of the play, that it was the same play where Caleb Williams rolled out and hit Cole Kmet for the touchdown in Philly. And there's a bunch of different discussions as to who was open, what was the plan, how it was supposed to go down. Number one, game is not won or lost in one play, as we've said. Number two, you're happy the Bears got to the point where, again, it came down to that one play. But I take issue with the fact that Caleb Williams a few weeks ago says he goes through his reads too quickly. Because if that's the case, if you're zipping through your reads, then why didn't you see that probably Cole Kmet's open earlier in that play? And then you could just hit him at the 2 or 3 yard line and then he runs into the end zone. By the time he was in the end zone, it was too late. Ball intercepted.
Are we sure that was his second read? Is that what we're thinking? DeAndre Swift was the first read?
If you base it off of the fact that Ben Johnson said the play was the same play they ran in Philly. So after the Philly game, Ben Johnson said DeAndre Swift is the first read. So Swift is still the first read on that play, goes to the same side of the field, all of the things.
It makes the most sense from a structural, like the ease of the throw, right? That's the easiest play to make if you're not using your legs.
Right, he's the closest one. It's 4th and 1 at the Green Bay 14. He rolls out. He's got enough space to throw to Swift if he wants. As I mentioned, I think Kmet's open at probably the 2 or 3 yard line in progress. I see the gears of Mark Grody's brain turning.
Well, it's because Cole Kmet was open right around, as you said, Layla, right around the 3 yard line. It doesn't last long in the NFL. That's the problem. He's open, boom, for 2 seconds or whatever it is, and Caleb just misses it. He did have two defenders with bad intentions bearing down on him as he's running towards the sideline. I understood not going to DeAndre Swift in that place. It looked like
he was covered.
The defenders were just kind of like daring, hoping, and playing off just a little bit enough to, if Caleb had thrown that, they would have swatted that ball down at the very least.
Or if he catches it, he's getting the yardage to get the first down, and that's it.
Maybe.
Well, that's fine, though.
Yeah. No, he was past the
situation. He was. But I'm saying maybe he makes the play. But you're right. Of course he was in.
Now,
and that's the part about it, too, Layla. The part where they just need the 1 yard. That's all they needed. And they've had this bread and butter thing going with their offense. If you're the best offensive line in the NFL, as a lot of credible analysts have been saying, or at least in the top five,
just run the football.
You got to be able to get that 1 yard right there.
I'll do you one better. On the previous down, if you're really the best offensive line in football, you run a quarterback sneak. You don't hand the ball off to Kyle Menungai.
Ooh, yeah, that
you
didn't look
sneak
good.
It.
Is that the play
you
where the helmet behind,
yes.
gets chipped?
No, that was a different play in the game. But
he was stonewalled.
But you're 3rd and 1, and you decided to hand the ball off. In that moment, against the Packers front that you've seen all game, theoretically, you know exactly what they're going to do. They're already knowing your game plan. So the seconds that it takes to actually have the handoff instead of just being able to sneak, that time even matters. Does that time translate into yards? They ran that play like they knew it was automatic. And I've said before, this is a team that for whatever reason doesn't run a quarterback sneak automatically. But I don't know why you don't sneak on 3rd and 1, and then you're talking about a different setup on 4th and 1. And even then, we know this team has not had the best history over the course of the season when it comes to being able to convert red zone opportunities and goal to go into touchdowns.
Let me ask you guys this question.
Does that buy you enough time, though, to compress the play to where you're hitting Cole Kmet at a different read, a different time in the read?
Do you think, Layla, I'll start with you, do you think the mentality should have just been from the very beginning to get the one? Like, what did you want? Did you think throwing in the end zone or just getting the 1 yard should have been the priority? Because clearly it wasn't necessarily the priority.
I think that I understood what they were doing. They were trying to get the touchdown and then the ultimate 2-point conversion.
Get the hell out of there.
They were going to win or lose on that one play. I didn't mind that strategy.
Okay. All right.
So all of that said, I'm like, well, then get the damn yard. Like, why wasn't the sneak the option there on 3rd and 1?
To answer that question, I think just get the, unless it's a wide open Cole Kmet, which it was for a second, but it wasn't when he threw the ball. Let's be very clear. It wasn't. They had. That's why DeAndre Swift, in my opinion, was not open, is because they had 3 guys on DeAndre Swift at that point. It was busted coverage. And then, of course, floating the ball gave a chance for an interception because then you have somebody drifting back. I think getting the 1 yard was the move because at that point, when you start the play, there's 27 seconds left. The Bears have 2 timeouts. It's not as urgent as, for a lot of reasons, when I was on social media yesterday, people were acting like the game, they were out of time. They had plenty of time. get the yard, call the timeout. You still have one timeout, and you got a fresh set of downs to get, what, five yards?
I thought the time management was excellent.
I had no issue with it. I know, and also for everybody bringing up DJ Moore, which I initially thought, too, he was open during the play. It looked like it from above. But when I came away from watching it at a lower angle based on the speed of which everybody was moving, I did not think DJ Moore was as open during that time. But if you look at the cutaway of the camera, when they cut to him after that play, he looked like he was, he thought he was open enough. And that's a discussion that needs to be have as well. But either way, the inconsistency of the passing game that the coach pointed out earlier in the week, it really did show up, I think, in this play.
Let me point out this one stat, and this is brought up by Brad Biggs in his 10 things, which everybody should read on a Monday morning, right?
Biggs.
So Williams has been struggling, as we know, with completion percentage. He has not hit 60%, I think, in like, what, 9 of the last 10 games? He has not made it to 60% completion percentage. That's not good. According to Next Gen Stats, not only is Williams the lowest ranked passer in the league in terms of completion percentage for the qualifying quarterbacks, he also has the lowest rate of tight window throws. Those are throws that are defined as less than 1 yard of separation in the NFL. That percentage for him is 10.6%. So in other words, Williams has been inaccurate generally throwing into more open windows. And that window to DeAndre Swift we're talking about on that play was not an open window. It was a tight window.
Agree. Like, I'm not mad that Caleb did not attempt to throw that.
He had a much more open window with Cole Kmet if he throws the ball sooner.
He might have gotten it. For instance, the Olamide Zaccheaus touchdown where he just threads. that was an open either.
Yeah.
So, like, and that's a risk right there. So maybe he could have gotten it to Swift.
But that was a 4th-and-1 with the game online.
Absolutely. So it is different, but Caleb is known to complete some of those passes.
Well, let's listen to what Caleb Williams had to say after the game about that very play.
We had about 2 or 3 guys in front of, you know, either stacking Swift or right there with Swift. And so, you know, rolled out and saw Cole and tried to give him a big boy ball, try and let him go up for it because I ended up seeing 25 starting to sprint. And so, tried to slow him up and, you know, kind of give him a chance in those moments. It's, you know, got to have it moment. And they had a guy trailing me, and so didn't feel that I could go get it myself. And so just got to give Cole a better shot at it. I think, you know, next time just extend him a little bit more and kind of lead him. You know, but in those moments, you want to put the ball in play and trust your guy or, you know, try to have your guy go make a play and just got to give him a better ball.
This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. That was Caleb Williams talking about the ultimate interception that he threw to Keyshawn Nixon, and who is 25. That's the point, is he still ended up picking off the ball. Like, in your analysis as the quarterback of that play, what you didn't do was just dump it immediately to Kmet when he was open to begin the route.
Yeah, that was the real
window. You saw him sprinting over because he was covering Kmet.
Yeah, he was trying to get back into the play. So Keyshawn Nixon was making up for the fact that there was initially busted coverage on the play. And I like that Caleb recognized what was going on. And that's why he says it just needs to be a better ball. Because basically he's saying, I didn't throw it far enough and high enough and too soft. And I allowed Keyshawn Nixon, who by my own admission, I see closing in on Cole Kmet. My ball wasn't good enough to make the play happen at the end of the game.
I'd have to watch it again, too, but
I've watched it so many times.
Well, okay, then maybe you can answer the question better than I was able to discern. Could Cole Kmet have done more on that play, even though it was a bad pass and it wasn't a great position?
No, and here's the reason why. Cole Komet's running backwards as the ball's being thrown. The ball was so underthrown that it was more...
His momentum was pushing back too far.
His momentum was going to the back boundary, and so when it was released, he's running. Now, he stops and tries to come up. But by then, Keyshawn Nixon's actually, like, kind of backpedaling towards the ball.
It's a pretty easy interception for Keyshawn.
It was an easy interception.
Yeah, that's not a high degree of difficulty at all.
He made it look like it was an underthrow, and it ended up being a function of a lack of timing.
Yeah.
Like, that's my issue with it, is he's open if you hit him at the beginning of his route. And you could tell based on the end. Couldn't you see the reaction out of Kmet, too? I know we talked about the reaction out of DJ. And we'll get to DJ later in our show, because I do think that there's a dysfunctional element there in the offense. Like, especially when Roma Dunze is out, DJ Moore should have more than 3 targets. Let's just start with that.
So what did Kmet do? His body language?
No, yeah, you could just tell at the end of it.
He was pissed?
I don't know if he was upset, but
he was
like, you could just tell that, like, I think he thought he was going to get the ball prior to him hitting the end zone.
Yeah. So when Caleb, when he's rolling out to his left, right, and you're thinking, oh, DeAndre Swift, he's covered. DJ Moore, as DJ Moore starts to become open, he's already turned his hips and he gives kind of a little pump fake, and then he throws it. Instead of pump fake, he probably had time for one, like bam, bam. Yeah. He's like one, two, three. And on that third one, now Keyshawn's already gone, going back. Caleb Williams is throwing, and Cole Kmet's too close to the boundary at that point. He's running out of room. And that's the biggest difference between this play and against the Eagles. Against the Eagles, he had room to run. This, he's already in the end zone.
Well, and I think that's why I wanted to play the sound of him saying, this is what I was trying to do. Don't do that. It's not that simple, but unfortunately, your element of strategy resulted in the interception there. We have more to come here on Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Coming up next, it's time to take calls. 312-644-6767. You've been texting us as well, so we'll take your calls on this Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We are taking your calls, 312-644-6767. After this Bears loss to the Packers, we go first to Rasan in Las Vegas. Hey, Rasan.
How you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I am a huge Chicago Bears fan. I'm from the city of Chicago. I listen to you guys. I love you guys. You give great analysts, great feedback on the Bears. So I'm just thankful you guys gave me an audience to speak a little bit.
Thank you, Rashad. I appreciate you, man. Go ahead.
So I want to just say this. I think that the game yesterday was lost on that 3rd-and-1 play when we let Jacobs, when he got touched by 4 Bears players at 21 yards. If we stopped him right there, we maybe can hold him to a field goal. Maybe. and come back and win that game. We gassed them the entire, damn near the entire third quarter, leading into the fourth quarter, and our defense wasn't gassed. So I don't understand how we let him get to the line like that. But what I will say is this. Caleb Williams, you know, we criticized that young fella, you know, because he was hyped through high school, college, you know, as a Pee Wee leader and all that stuff. It kind of reminds me of Josh Allen in his first 2.5, maybe 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he became a MVP of the league. He's like the face of the league almost now. So, yeah. You know, Caleb made some unbelievable throws yesterday. I'm talking about some unbelievable throws in that game, especially that over-the-shoulder drop to Cole Kmet going up the sideline
yep.
right there.
That was sick. Yeah.
That was a beautiful throw. That was a Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers in the past type of a throw. So I think that we're exceeding expectations. I don't think we need to put so much on his plate as far as completions is concerned. A lot of the passes, the guys drop them. I mean, that goes on his completions percentage too. So we just can't look at him overthrowing and underthrowing. We also got to look at some of the passes, touch their hands. It's a couple games where Rome had the ball in his hands and just completely dropped it. I'm talking about writing his numbers. So we got to take all that into consideration. But I do think that the Chicago Bears will handle business in 2 weeks. I think we will get back. This is a good loss, not a bad loss like last year. That was terrible. This year, these guys are playing for something. They're playing for not just respect, but they're playing for the national pundits to start talking about the Bears again.
No doubt. Rashawn, thanks for the call. It's a good one, and you are right. He did do some, like, we haven't even talked about Caleb Williams' best throws. The 28-yarder to Burden in the fourth quarter in that final drive. The Duvernay pass was absolutely
sick.
The
Devin Duvernay. I don't know if I was more surprised by the pass itself or who was catching the pass.
Wasn't that his second catch of the year?
I think it was.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm not doing that he brought up, he did it. Like, I am no longer allowing for this Josh Allen comp because we played that game with at least Justin Fields. Did we play with Mitch Trubisky too? Oh, he had a bad year first couple years. Look at Josh Allen. We've got to stop doing the Josh Allen.
Hold on. I don't like comps
in general, typically.
You don't like comps? Yeah.
I like evaluating the individual for who they are.
Right. Let me just leave you with this one thing.
Okay.
This one thing.
Okay. Okay.
Mr. His completion percentage is now 57.8%. Not good enough. Nobody's saying it is. It's the sixth consecutive game he's been below 60%. A streak like this doesn't happen, right? And you bounce back and have a better, you turn into a more accurate passer. Here are the other three quarterbacks who have done that. Josh Allen.
Who have done what? Who've gotten better.
Josh Allen has gotten better, but the other three quarterbacks are Josh Allen, Jacoby Brissett, and Cam Newton, who have started six straight games under 60% completion percentage. So it is possible, and Josh Allen's really the only one that you can hold on to is like, I hope it's the Josh Allen and not the Jacoby Brissett or even the Cam Newton thing because he's obviously relying on his legs way too much.
And that's why I don't like comps. Let's continue on the phone lines. Steven in North Lawndale is on with Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Hi, Steven.
Hey, how y'all doing on this fine Monday morning?
I'm well.
How are you, man? You sound calm, collected, and ready right now.
It's a radio voice out of you right now. It's a good voice.
Yeah. Good morning to y'all. I want to talk about, I think, not y'all platform, like different platforms I watch. I think they have to give Caleb grace because this is his second year, and this is first year Ben Johnson's offense. And I think they give other quarterbacks grace. Like, they give Trevor Lawrence grace, and he's been quote unquote just like not good really, so I think they should give him more grace with that. Granted he don't make the routine throws, but I think it comes from his feet don't always match his eyes, if y'all get what I'm saying. Like, I think he need to be better with his feet, and if he get his feet properly placed under him and whatnot, I think he'll be better as throwing the football more accurately. Like I said, he's a great athlete. He makes hell of a throws. Even a throw he made to Duvernay, he looked off before he threw it to Duvernay. Like, that's something that's we're not talking about. Just like his off-platform throws is just like Mahomes-esque to me.
And another thing is, I think the defense kind of let us down a little bit in the first half and giving up these explosive plays. I think Kyler Gordon really hurt us when he got injured in the pregame. So I just want to ask, how did y'all think about the giving Caleb grace and the defense had let us down?
Thank you for your call. I think there's a, like we've said before, there's a lot that went right in this game for the Bears as well. Like, this was a different game in the second half. Caleb Williams overcame the terrible first half, as did the rest of the team. And you're right, Mark, that ball to Olamide Zaccheaus was, I don't know how he got that there.
That's a great pass.
I don't know how Olamide Zaccheaus caught it.
Watch it in slow motion. It's pretty amazing the window that he got it through. Literally, did it go through the defender's hand? Like,
practically,
the tip of the hands of the defender?
Like it,
the adjusted sidearm angle in itself to get it.
And by the way, look, I think, and I understand, like, there's now two calls where people are sort of imploring us, just be patient with Caleb Williams.
I think we have been
patient. He has received the proper amount of grace throughout this entire season. I think that we've even been saying it. Like, this is a running team. This is a Ben Johnson team. Do you need more from your quarterback? Absolutely. Caleb Williams must be better. He is not good enough yet as the Chicago Bears quarterback. There's no doubt about it. But we're not starting this show today with Caleb screwed up the game. He's gotten plenty of grace. And guess what? He still needs to be better.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. And the head coach said the passing game needs to get better. So if you don't want to believe us, I don't know, you might want to listen to him. Mike in Rockford, we got about 30 seconds for you if you can make it on the score.
I'm gonna make it quick. I'm opposite of your other callers. Stop comparing him. Caleb Williams is Caleb Williams. He's not Santa Claus. He's Caleb Williams, okay? the guy is not doing the basic throws. That first quarter, first half was terrible. And I'm going to tell you guys something real quick. He's not – Ben Johnson won't tolerate this. And here's my question. I'm not saying the guy's a bust now, but if he continues to downslide the rest of the year and they don't make the playoffs in spite – or because of Caleb Williams, I want to ask you guys a magic question, okay? I'm only giving him a chance, but Ben Johnson's going to have a short – I know he's going to have a big input on this. What's your guys' feeling on – how long will Ben Johnson tolerate this before the Bears are going to go in another direction to the QB? I'll hang up, and thanks. Great show, guys. Thank you.
They'll give it a long time,
and
there's no reason to be thinking about a quarterback switch or anything.
He's got another
like that.
Year. He's
got another
get
whole
two
year.
2 years in the system before anybody's hitting a panic
unless
button.
It just goes – I mean, there's always a possibility that it just goes haywire, and it goes horribly, and he starts throwing pick sixes. I don't think that's going to be the case, so I am not even close to being where the caller is. But we thank you for the call.
Yeah, and also I want to take this time to laugh because I remember Marshall bringing up Tyson Bagent in the first week.
Listen, that's a real thing. Not for me, but for other people. That's how other people. No, I said Caleb
Didn't
Williams.
Did you say the clock was ticking?
The clock is ticking. I just told you what the clock, where the clock is.
You and Spiegel both beginning of the year, like just going hard, man.
I was mad at the run game. I thought the run game wasn't producing.
I was not going hard. I was saying there is a clock ticking in Ben Johnson's head. The caller's not wrong. What he's wrong about is how much time Caleb Williams is going to get.
I think the patience level is, does Ben Johnson want to continue to run a playbook that maybe doesn't have his full complement of what he can draw for an offense? That is a bigger question to me than anything else. We have more to come here on Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We have Anthony Herron coming up next, the Fox 32 analyst, show host for us, does Bears coverage for Fox, the former NFL defensive lineman. He will give us his thoughts next here on the show.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.